Radioactive!
I'm Walter Stanton.
I'm Josh Medina. You know what day it is today?
No.
Neither do I, but chances are somebody's celebrating something.
A marriage, a revolution, a cultural icon.
That relative you don't want to offend by not showing up.
Oh, and happy birthday to the 19 million-odd people celebrating the day they were brought into this world.
You guessed it, folks. This month's theme is celebration.
As it should be. In the U.S., July is best known for being the month to host our Independence Day.
It's not every day we can express our patriotic pride through violent explosions and exorbitant spending.
Sure, but it doesn't have to be a federally recognized holiday. It's kind of incredible what some people celebrate.
Really? I mean, we already celebrate birth, death, undeath, ghosts, leprechauns, and just about everything in between.
How about hot dogs, space monkeys, and creative reimaginings of grape jelly?
What?
You'd be surprised.
Let's talk about that.
How about Creative Ice Cream Flavor Day?
Or Compliment Your Mirror Day.
I do that every day.
You know, here at KUOW, we have a resident expert on strange shindiggery.
Yes, indeed. Kendra Hannah has a lot to say when it comes to obscure holidays. Her family happens to celebrate a few.
Let's hear what she has to say about her family's favorite holidays you've never heard of.
2 years ago, I was standing in front of my teammates at crew, and this giant white van drove up. It was filled with screaming children dressed like pirates. My mom poked her head out the window and yelled, "Get your booty in." Talk Like a Pirate Day is a holiday on which you are supposed to talk like a pirate. Festivities include posting a Facebook status filled with yars. Businesses get in on the excitement too.
Talk Like a Pirate Day, Krispy Kreme gives people who are dressed like pirates a whole box of donuts. So,
for free.
I talked to my mom about our family's observance of the holiday. Last year, my family and our friend's family went to 3 Krispy Kremes in all, dressed like pirates.
They get 15 boxes for going to 3 Krispy Kremes with 5 people, and then we get 12. So,
how much is that?
27 boxes.
How many donuts is that, though?
Don't
use your calculator. Okay, so we're pulling out the cell phone now.
324.
324. That's like $215 worth of donuts. That's obscene. You've probably had experience with holidays like Talk Like a Pirate Day. Your coworker may have brought in treats, claiming it was National Brownie Day or something. There's Cow Appreciation Day, July 15th, and Evaluate Your Life Day, October 19th. Why do we celebrate these what I call obscure holidays? Tom Roy worked for a radio station in Pennsylvania in the 70s and 80s. He would get this holiday calendar sent to him called the Chase Calendar of Events. And in the back, you could submit your own holiday. So he submitted Northern Hemisphere Hootie Hoo Day, February 20th.
1 month away from the first day of spring, we ask people to go outside and wave a beach blanket or a bathing suit or sunglasses or anything summery, springy, at the sun, and shout Hootie Hoo twice, and we guarantee warmer weather will show up eventually.
He's made more than 90 of these things. They're all pretty tongue-in-cheek.
Here's a silly one for families to do. Fish tank floor show night. All year long, your fish and other denizens of the tank have to stay under the spotlight and keep us entertained. Gather your family and friends around the aquarium and dance and sing. It would just be fun stuff you can do with the kids. That doesn't cost a thing to celebrate.
Which is why I think people like my mom and Tom like these holidays. They're simple and cheap.
Well, I mean, we already have Christmas taking up like 3 months of the year,
Christmas
though.
Christmas is exhausting. Like, you have to do all this stuff, and you have to prep, and you have to plan, and it's exhausting.
These holidays aren't, though.
Why does National Talk Like Pirate Day exist?
For fun. To add fun to life. There's nothing better than driving down Aurora dressed as a pirate.
Obscure holidays are just more fun. Tom told me about one holiday he created called Yell Fudge at Cobras in North America Day, June 2nd. It's based on this vaudeville joke. Two guys are on stage, and one guy is making crazy noises.
The guy standing next to him on stage says, "What are you doing, for heaven's sake?" He says, "I'm keeping the elephants away." And the guy says, "Well, there haven't been any elephants around here in years." And the guy goes, "See, it works."
In the same vein, you yell fudge at cobras to keep them out of North America. Once he was giving an interview with Fox News on Yell Fudge at Cobras in North America Day, and someone called in.
I answered it, and the guy says, "Hi, this is Larry. I do the in-house radio show here at the Kennebunk Nursing Home in Kennebunk, Maine, and I'm just calling to report that not only are there no cobras in our nursing home, there are no snakes at all." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And he said, "No." He says, "We actually wheeled people around the hallways in their beds yelling fudge." And I was delighted.
Okay, I've been convinced. These holidays are actually pretty great, so I want to make my own.
Another idea I've come up with is National Youth Run Podcasts in the Seattle Area Day.
What do you do for that?
You listen to Radioactive.
Oh, okay. I'll make a cake for it.
And you have to write that whole thing out. National Youth Run Podcast in the Greater Seattle Area Day.
Mark your calendars, guys. It's every July 30th. For Radioactive, I'm Kendra Hanna.
You know, I might start celebrating Pirate Day. I'm a big fan of donuts.
Nina Tran is a part-time advanced producer here at Radioactive and full-time subject of Walter's progressively stranger nicknames.
It's an art and a science.
Did you invent it?
Oh, no, my friend. I simply hold the honor of having been the one to perfect it.
You don't exactly come across as a perfectionist.
They never do.
Not even going to argue with that.
A couple weeks ago, Neeners went out to record people's opinions on what personal achievements they would like to celebrate.
Neeners?
That's right. Our beloved Neen Machine collected several examples of what kinds of wonderful celebrations regular folks like you and I want in their lives.
Don't exactly know if I'd peg you as a regular folk.
Thank you.
I would want my friends to celebrate me getting my bike put together with a nice bike ride.
I'm actually about to start an internship tomorrow at the Swedish Neuroscience Institute, which is a big deal for me because I had trouble believing I was good at science for a long time, and now I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling really psyched to learn about the brain.
I graduated college. I graduated from UW about 3 weeks ago. Woo!
I got put on a new project at work based off of hard work and practice and dedication.
Me finally deciding what my major is. In college, which is human services. I mean, I had a party for it, so it'd be great if everyone celebrated with me.
I would like people to celebrate being able to breathe in and out every day.
I don't know, I don't feel too comfortable being celebrated, I guess.
Well, I'm trying to finish a poetry collection that I'm working on to submit to Button Poetry by July 31st. So I've been working on that every week, and every week's kind of a milestone, so I'm looking forward to getting 20 to 30 pages.
Self-care, because a lot of people don't take care of themselves enough, and I think that they should celebrate it and realize how important it is to give yourself a break and to celebrate just taking care of yourself.
We got 8th place in state for debate last year.
If I could celebrate anything, I think it'd be getting to sleep on time when I have deadlines to meet. What time of year is it, Josh?
I don't know, July?
Other than that?
Ramadan?
Oh, that's later in the podcast.
Okay, what then?
Well, Josh, this summer the International Federation of Association Football held the World Cup in Brazil with 32 participating countries, including France, where our next segment takes place.
Oh, right. Radioactive's Ian Dongla has a lot to say about the world's most political sport.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, Ian tells all in his Diary of a Wimpy Fan.
Confession number one. I'm a football fan. Real football. You probably call it soccer, but I call it by its real name. Confession number two. I'm also half French. At least, those used to be confessions. Now I'm not so sure. The era of freedom fries has subsided, and more importantly, football fever is sweeping over the U.S. Maybe my fandom and my genealogy no longer make me a communist in the eyes of my countrymen. Nonetheless, I confess. It's a good day to be a half French football fan. It's the World Cup, and France has sailed through the early rounds. Next up, Germany. The quarterfinals. Beat them and we're contenders. I say we because I'm actually in France at this very moment. At a bar in Paris. A chance to live out one of my dreams, to watch France win the World Cup in France. 5 minutes till kickoff. Cue the songs, the screams, the patriotism. Cue the Marseillaise!
Bonjour.
Okay, not exactly the display of patriotic fandom I would have hoped for. Perhaps another confession is in order. The truth is, I'm watching the game in a Parisian bar, but a bar in one of the city's richest and most tourist-infested neighborhoods, just next to the Eiffel Tower. And yes, I'm part of that infestation. I can only imagine what it's like to watch the match somewhere real, in one of those last Parisian neighborhoods fighting gentrification and Americans on holiday. But I'm jet-lagged, and this is where we're staying, so that's that. Keep dreaming, Ian. 12 minutes into the game, a free kick outside the box for Germany. A looping ball in, a powerful header past the keeper. Classic German efficiency. The rest of the game is a dull affair. Any half chances the French can create, inevitably halted by Germany's own Aryan bionic man of a goalkeeper, Manuel Neuer. God, he scares me. God, I wish he were French. 90 minutes gone. C'est fini. Le rêve est mort. The dream is dead. A small consolation. Germany were the eventual champions. Still, it hurts. And now, as usual, my rooting interests have been eliminated. And now, as usual, my liberal arts student consciousness slowly begins to creep in. Ian, it whispers. Stop watching the World Cup. Turn away. Shut it off. How could even the deepest, darkest part of my being utter such a thought? Blasphemy against the beautiful game. I'll tell you how. FIFA. As John Oliver so eloquently put it, FIFA is cartoonishly evil, and that's not an exaggeration. The World Cup costs lives. Literally. In doing this story, I forced myself to read dozens of the articles that, to my shame, I so often ignore. About how the stadiums in Qatar are being built. Through a system of indentured servitude fueled by immigrant laborers. And dozens of those laborers have died. Of course, FIFA has expressed remorse, claiming they're appalled at the conditions, but they can't pretend they didn't know this would happen. Actually, they can't even pretend that Qatar didn't line their pockets to get the World Cup in the first place. FIFA's hands are as dirty as anybody's. But that's the thing. Sitting in a bar in Paris, taking in the rapid fire of halftime advertisements, am I not culpable? I mean, how much does Pepsi pay to have their advertisement put on during halftime? And how much of that money goes to FIFA? And aren't they just paying for that so that I'll see it and then I'll buy a Pepsi? And hey, did you even know that Messi likes Pepsi? Or rather, did you know that Messi has paid heaps of money to say that he likes Pepsi? I have a lot of questions here. I mean, aren't my hands dirty too? And has anybody seen the waiter? Because I could really use a Pepsi. To ease my qualms, my journalistic instincts take over. I ask around. Maybe not everybody feels this way. Maybe this is just another case of shut up and enjoy the game, Ian. You're ruining it for everyone. It wouldn't be the first time. I meet Stéphane in Les Sables-d'Olonne, a vacation town in the west coast of France. I know he's a Dutch fan because of the blindingly bright orange jersey he's wearing. He's not hard to spot. Holland plays Argentina tonight, the semifinals, where I dreamed France would be. I'm a little jealous, but after the 7-1 beating Germany handed out the night before, at least I'm not half Brazilian.
What do you think of FIFA as an organization?
Interesting question. I think they're a little corrupt. If you see the things going on with Qatar election, yeah. Not that nice.
But regardless of the corruption, you still watch the World Cup with that in mind?
I think soccer is bigger than FIFA.
Ah, Stéphane, you said the S word. Still, with slight modification, the sentiment's not bad. Football is bigger than FIFA. I like that. That'll dull my conscience just enough to get me to the bar to watch Holland-Argentina. Okay. Another confession. I was gonna go anyway. Still, when I get to the venue in Les Sables, I'm hopeful. The atmosphere here is awesome. The place is packed. People are speaking cordially, laughing, having a good time. Maybe what Stéphane said is true. This is about people being together. Maybe football is bigger than FIFA. At halftime, almost the entire bar moves to the terrace to smoke. Ah, la France. I inhale deeply and follow. I meet Tristan and Clement outside. I ease into the same line of questioning I asked Stefan, and despite my best efforts, keep asking myself. In the interest of time, I've paraphrased a few of these translations.
mais vraiment, FIFA, qu'est-ce que
ça? Non, FIFA, bah, écoute, il faudrait que Platini accepte la vidéo quand même.
FIFA, c'est argent.
What do you think of FIFA as an organization? Tristan answers briefly but eloquently. FIFA is money. I prod further.
Alors, est-ce que la Coupe du Monde, c'est l'argent aussi?
So, is the World Cup also just about money?
Non. Regarde au Brésil.
Tu l'as vu au Brésil?
Le gouvernement brésilien, ils ont mis pas mal d'argent dans tout ce qui est stade et tout.
11 milliards.
Alors que tout ce... je sais pas combien ils ont mis. Ils ont mis beaucoup d'argent pour tout ce qui est la Coupe du Monde. Oui. Alors que tous les Brésiliens qui sont pauvres dans les favelas, ils ont rien mis.
What Tristan explains here is basically what I explained earlier, only in French, so it sounds much prettier. Yes, he says, the World Cup is just about money. Look at all the money that was spent in Brazil to make the stadiums, yet the poor there got nothing. Now I go in for the question that everyone I talk to, myself included, refuses to answer.
Mais vous regardez la Coupe du Monde quand même?
Oui.
Pourquoi?
But you watch the World Cup anyway. Yes, they both respond. Why?
Parce que nous, on est en France, on n'est pas au Brésil, c'est pas la même chose. C'est pas la même chose.
Mais ça se porte la même chose, c'est la même chose.
Oui.
Vous êtes coupable aussi dans cette... jeu d'argent parce que vous regardez.
Non.
Pourquoi pas?
Tristan says we're not in Brazil, so it's not the same thing. I reply that it is, that he is also culpable in this game of money because he's watching.
C'est un plaisir de la regarder.
Okay.
C'est
parce que d'un côté il a raison, on cautionne ça.
Non, c'est un plaisir aussi.
Mais oui, après c'est un plaisir.
Tu vas pas te priver de la Coupe du Monde.
No, says Tristan, watching football is for pleasure. But he has a point, replies Clement. Tristan retorts, no way, you're not going to make me not watch the World Cup. Clement, no, but he has a point. And I can see where this is going. They start to speak more quickly than I can comprehend. My French isn't that good. So I throw in the fact that I, too, by being here, am just as culpable. Rookie move. They flip the question back at me.
Moi, je regarde aussi. Je suis aussi coupable, mais...
Mais qu'est-ce que t'en penses, toi?
Tristan asks, what do I think? Shut up, Tristan. You're ruining it for everybody. Grab a drink. The second half's about to start. For Radioactive, I'm Ian Dongla.
Fun fact, North American countries are the only ones to call football soccer, which is partly an abbreviation of association slurred with the "er" at the end. So, A-Soc-er. Soccer.
The ninth month of the Islamic calendar is called Ramadan.
Ramadan is a month of fasting during the day, with prayer and feasting at night.
This year, Ramadan happens to fall in the month of July. At the end of Ramadan is the holiday called Eid. It's a family celebration where the entire community comes together for prayer, good food, and good memories.
Hassan Abdi and Iman Muhammad went out to record what memories their community had to share about Eid.
To start with, as a kid, Eid is all about a time in your life where you buy new clothes, your family starts giving you money as a kid, you go to the mosque with your new clothes, and then you go out and you play all day for 3 days, and you just celebrate and you have a great time.
Having fun, eating a lot of food, playing games.
I'm going on roller coasters and getting parents eating for us and giving them money, and that's it.
Praying, going to a kosher buffet, going to family fun sitter.
And then as an adult, it's a time for you to reconnect with your family and rest and enjoy your time after fasting for a whole month.
My favorite Eid was 2011. We did a lot of fun stuff, like come to Wild Ways and have fun with a lot of family members.
2002, I had all my uncles and aunties come back, you know, from Canada, Europe, and that's the only time I saw them in my life, so it has to be a memorable Eid for me.
I'll say my favorite Eid was in Eid al-Adha 2009, because I've met a lot of family members I've never met. Like, I had some family members come from Holland and the Netherlands. Got to spend it with my grandma and them, so since the 21 years I've been alive, that's the only Eid that I spent with them.
My favorite Eid was 2013 because I was 15 years old and I didn't have to go with my mom wherever she wanted to go with my parents.
My favorite part is the praying time when you see like a lot of people come to one place, like different country, and they have a different kind of clothes. and we used to sing the song. I don't remember all of it, but I remember like a little bit the beginning of it. It's أهلاً أهلاً بالعيد مرحب مرحب بالعيد. That's all. أهلاً بالعيد مرحب مرحب بالعيد. That song made it أهلاً, that's mean welcome. أهلاً أهلاً بالعيد, welcome welcome عيد.
Okay, is there anything else you want to tell me?
Eid Mubarak.
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 Oh, I love the outro for that story. Those kids are so cute.
Thanks to Kendra Hanna, Ardo Hersey, Iman Mohammed, Hassan Abdi, Nina Tran, and Ian Dongla for contributing their stories and for recording the Vox Pops this month. Special thanks to Leela and Jenny for motivational support.
I'm Walter Stanton.
And I'm Josh Medina.
Radioactive is a youth media program at KUOW.
If you enjoyed this podcast, visit KUOW.org/radioactive for more ear candy.
Follow us on Twitter at KUOW Radioactive, and like us on Facebook if you're celebrating something today.
And even if you're not, do it anyway. We appreciate the support.
Thanks for listening.
And have a happy birthday.